Morning, everybody. Please take a seat. Good morning. Morning.
Morning.
Would like to welcome everybody to today's meeting for the Board of Public Works. And before we start the meeting, I would just like to recognize Treasurer Davis for a point of a personal privilege.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning, everybody. It's starting to seem like I'm doing this every few weeks now. But yesterday, unfortunately, a longtime staff member of mine when I was in the House of Delegates, Ms. Denise Waters, passed. Denise, some of you may know her, those who came to Economic Matters, who, you know what she meant to the office. And I was reflecting upon it. The governor called me last night, and thank you very much for that. I appreciated your words, Governor. And I got to thinking about what I wanted to say. I wanted to acknowledge her to each of you. See, in every office, and I think everybody knows this, you have your unsung heroes. I mean, you have people like me who you know, hog up all of the glory or whatever, get an undue amount of credit for what goes on in a given audit office or job, as you will. But it's the unsung heroes, the people like Denise. Denise was the one that you know, they made all the appointments. I was talking to the comptroller, she, the governor, and I, and she mentioned to the governor that she could always get appointments with me because of Denise. Well, that was pretty much with everybody, because I'd want to go off and have lunch with somebody or an adult beverage or something. And she, you know, she was like, Mom, like, no, you have to have this meeting. These people have been waiting. You know, I'd get all ticked off. And she was like, you're having a meeting anyway. So, you know, it was that kind of thing. She's the one that, you know, when we would go on the floor and you know, I'd you know, do the bills, me and the other members and so forth. She was the one, like, stuff like this. She was the one who put these briefing books together, these documents, to make sure that I was ready. She was the one that, you know, I had a younger staff over there, and they would, you know, get caught up in the work, and she would make sure that from time to time we'd go have our own little office happy hour. You know, we'd go somewhere and just sort of take a break, step away from what was going on. But we still, and she also made sure that we didn't get carried away either. And you could tell everybody here who knows what getting carried away means. So she was that person. So, you know, maybe she didn't give the interviews with the press or all those kinds of things. But for any successful office, you have to have a person like that. And so I would say to those of you who have those unsung heroes, make sure you're taking time out to say thank you. Make sure you're taking time out to acknowledge them, to maybe go out to lunch or a ball game or something. Don't get too busy with the work or anything else to say thank you, I appreciate you, and also check in on them. I know Denise didn't have any siblings or any children, and so Annapolis sort of became her family. You know, the ECM staff became her family. And I don't know, I'm going to end it right there just to say I couldn't let, she was with me. She came with me when I became chairman, and of my 19 years as chair, she was there for 18 of those 19 years. Mm-hmm. So I was, and then she stayed on after I left. I thought I was keeping her there. I was just the one hiring her. She stayed with Delegate Wilson his first 2 years. So, you know, I had an opportunity to talk to him last night as well. So I'm going to greatly miss Denise. I think the General Assembly in the state of Maryland is going to miss her service and the things that she did to help make sure that, you know, things in Economic Matters went well. And I don't know what CT is going to do without Denise. So when it all crumbles and falls apart, it's his fault. Everything is his fault. So anyway, Governor, thank you very much. And thank you all for allowing me to say that.
And thank you. And that was beautiful.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And so well said. And I know that I speak on behalf of the entire Moore Miller administration, the entire team, all of our hearts going out to you, her family, her loved ones, her colleagues, her friends, and people in the General Assembly who she worked with, everyone who she touched. I was mentioning that I had the opportunity to meet her. And I'm blessed because of it, because you are right. I mean, you talk about a welcoming smile. That's exactly what she approached me with. But even speaking to some of our team members who really knew her, and the loss that they're all feeling right now. And to know you're all surrounded by prayer angels, because, you know, you talk about someone who's epitomizes what it means to be a public servant, to give up time and energy and space for the support of others, and who's always willing to meet and greet and answer every single call that comes in, no matter what it is, and to do it with a sense of integrity and a sense of passion and a sense of loyalty. Ms. Treasurer, and I say with the assistance of Secretary Chaudhry and our DGS team, and also Manny, we were able to secure the Maryland state flag that flew atop of the State House dome yesterday when we got the news, and we'd be honored if you would present this flag, and also with a certificate of love, appreciation, and condolence from the administration to the family. Comptroller, you knew her well.
She was, yeah. I just want to echo everything and the chairman said. And Mr. Chairman, I'll speak on behalf of all of us, the freshman legislators who came in when you were a chair. And Ms. Denise, as you said, she was the one who opened the door. So everything you said was so apt. And to Laura and Chair Wilson and everybody, and I'm so sorry. She was phenomenal. Yeah.
Thank you. So we'll begin with the secretary's agenda. Secretary Guntram, great to see you, and good morning. Thank you.
Good to see you as well, Governor, and good morning to you. Good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 17 items on the secretary's agenda this morning. However, I'm withdrawing item 10 at the request of Maryland Environmental Service, item 13 at the request of Morgan State University. I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Great. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion to the secretary's agenda?
I don't know if Madam Comptroller was going to say that. I was just curious about one provision in it that would about the delegated authority. It's number 5 in the request. It says BCCC receiving delegated authority to exercise future renewal options without further Board of Public Works approval. Are we going forward with that as well, or is that an option?
It is an option. If the board wishes to delegate authority to Baltimore City Community College to exercise the renewal options without having to bring those options back, the board may delegate that authority. We do have President McCurdy from the college available to address the request, if you'd like.
I would appreciate it, sir.
President McCurdy, you...
Yes, good morning, Governor, Treasurer, Davis, Comptroller, Learman, as well. And in terms of the delegated authority overall, this has to do with our ERP system, which brings this college fully forward out of the dark ages. In general, we have an infrastructure there that we have in the last 2 years attempted to fully migrate. This comes up under one of our realignment tasks that was handed to us from the state. This is really about the delegation of authority, so certain items the college could manage on their own as well. But I do want the board to be clear in terms of what we're trying to move forward, understanding that we are under a system and transitioning to a system from a 25-year-old legacy system. And part of that delegated authority will allow us to keep moving in a more positive direction. This will also allow us to remain competitive with our sister institutions as well. When one talks about 25 years under an HP land system, most of us don't even know what an HP land system was. Legacy system, 25, probably 30 years old. When I arrived at the college, we were in the middle of beginning to talk about a transition. The Board of Public Works actually approved this transition in 2020. Unfortunately, we were hit right in the middle of the pandemic, which meant we were starting a complete transition of a system right in the middle of the pandemic. We were out for a year. So if you can imagine that we were out with a legacy system for a year in the middle of transitioning to a new system, all while we had very antiquated and inadequate infrastructure to move forward. So saying to the board, again, the delegation of authority allows us to move forward. Please understand that our total infrastructure for technology at this institution literally has been ripped out and started all over again. So that's all your admissions, financial aid, registration, HR, our financial system. Everything is in the process of being moved forward. So we're about three quarters of the way. We have another 14 months of services that still need to happen, professional services, managed services, all that still needs to happen, and in a more expeditious way as well. But understanding that we were certainly under mandate from the legislation as I arrived to move our legacy system to something in this century. And in my 30 years in higher education, I have never seen a system this antiquated, which means they bought software on top of software on top of software. Nothing worked and nothing connected. The delegated authority will simply allow us to continue to expedite and to move forward with the decisions that need to be more rapidly made as well. I do have our procurement executive director on, Anna Lansaw. If Anna could just speak for a second on the procurement authority and the delegated authority that we have worked, I think, with legislation as well to move us to a new standard for this institution.
Good morning, Governor Wes Moore, Treasurer Davis, and Comptroller Lerman. My name, for the record, is Anna Lansaw, the Executive Director. The reason why we're requesting delegated authority just on these renewals is to continue moving forward, as stated by President McCurdy, is not to bypass the Board of Public Works approval. It still will have to be approved by the Board of Trustees, which are all appointed by yourself, Governor. It still have control. We will still be reporting and be compliant as required and so forth. It's just to keep us moving forward without having to come back to board and ask for those renewals each time.
Mm-hmm. The college also has a full guidelines that had to be presented to the board, both our Board of Trustees and the Board of Public Works, that we have created well over a year ago, a full guideline that does discuss procurement, our policies, our procedures that I think were well put together and again approved by the Board of Public Works to allow us to move forward and to give us an enhanced delegation of authority. The college suffered when I arrived with authority for only $50,000, which meant everything had to move forward in a very slow, antiquated way, probably matching the level of the system that we were trying to work under. So we've come forward and done and completed much of what we've been asked to do to demonstrate that the college can manage the authority for procurement at enhanced levels as well. And this is certainly a good turning point for Baltimore City Community College.
Thank you.
Just one final question. Is the BPW procurement advisor available?
Morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. Gabe Nall for the record, Procurement Advisors to Board. Sir, you have questions about this?
I wanted to know why you are advising against us approving item number five or point five, the delegated authority under this item.
I believe in my recommendation regarding this, it was dependent on whether the board wishes to retain its authority to control this procurement actions. It's all dependent on whether the board wishes to retain that authority. So before the board are five recommendations. Four are for past and current actions. The fifth recommendation is to receive delegation for the BCCC, receive delegation for any future renewal options under this contract. They are requesting exercising the first renewal option with this item. There are two future renewal options. They're both valued approximately $800,000 each. Under the BCCC's current procurement policies and procedures, they are required to bring those actions to the BPW each time they wish to exercise those renewal options because they exceed $500,000. So if the Board of Public Works wishes to retain that authority to monitor these contracts, then it would not exercise or provide that delegation. If the board wishes to delegate to BCCC that authority, the board would not see those renewal options. The board would not see whether or not the board or the BCCC is maintaining its MBE and VSB compliance. It would not receive any additional information on these renewal options. They would not come before the board at all. So again, it is up to you all whether or not you wish to retain that authority to review and improve these actions, or you wish to delegate to the BCCC that authority.
So are you saying, what I'm hearing is not pro or con. I'm hearing it whether or not we want to retain authority. My information could be, I could have misinterpreted. If I'm hearing correctly, you're not opposed to this. You're just providing information as to whether or not the board wanted to retain authority, and that's it.
That is correct. I'm not for or against it. It's really up to you all, the board, whether or not you wish to retain that authority to monitor and review and approve these future actions.
Understand.
Can we clarify? It's just for the three option years.
Well, the first option they're requesting with this agenda item, requesting approval right. For current.
Right, but the delegated authority, it's just for the option year.
For two options, yes.
Two options, okay.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other discussion items for the Secretary's agenda?
I just wanted to sort of give some laudatory remarks on item six, which is the two projects that result in the creation of 14,000 square feet in wetlands, which are critical to supporting the health and the biodiversity of the Chesapeake Bay. Every 2 weeks, we have wetlands license approvals on the Board of Public Works agenda, and it's very rare that we see the actual creation of new wetlands. And so I just felt like it was important to point this out. I think it might be the first time that I've been on this board that we are actually proactively creating new wetlands. So just a thank you to Tillman on the Chesapeake Community Association for their efforts to create oyster habitat. And it's just nice to see that we're really moving forward on pushing this, forward on the wetlands. So just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thank you. We'll proceed with DNR, Department of Natural Resources. Secretary Kurtz, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. For the record, my name is Josh Kurtz. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 10 agenda items for your consideration today. I just wanted to flag after our robust discussion on rural legacy last week that we do have our first two with fiscal 24. My staff and team is here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much. Any questions on the DNR agenda?
No questions.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Great work. Thanks, Ms. Secretary. Now we will move on to University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, great to see you. Good morning. Great to see you.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are two items for your consideration this morning, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful.
No questions.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mr. Hickey. Thank you. We'll go to MDOT. Ms. Domsky, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller. Mr. Treasurer, for the record, my name is Valerie Radomski. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer representing the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 17 agenda items for your consideration. Revisions to the agenda were submitted yesterday to correct the MBE compliance on item 5 GM mod and the start date of part B of item 16 E mod. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Wonderful. Are there any questions or comments on the MDOT agenda?
I have one. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Governor. Thanks, Mr. Radomski, for being here. And thank you to the secretary, I'm not sure if he's here, but for his time last week to talk about item number 17. So first, I'm hoping that you could actually just elucidate and provide some background and clarity for the public. Because there have been a series of contracts around sort of A&E services, and I think it's just important to be transparent about what's going on. So it would be helpful if you could clarify why contract A, which was originally submitted as part of the July 5th agenda, is being corrected to match the description and contract terms for contracts B and C.
Sure.
Thanks.
Absolutely. The correction to contract A clarifies the intent for this contract to be used for the American Legion Bridge and I-270 project and to align the contract term with the other two contracts in this series. We do apologize for the administrative error. All three contracts were meant to be used for this project and other SHA projects as needed as well. They're not limited just to the project. We have implemented a change to our process to ensure that this does not happen again, that everyone is aware, that the board is absolutely aware of projects that would be.
Thank you. And thanks for your time. I think, the governor and treasurer and now as Ms. Radomski knows of my sort of long interest in transportation and transit funding. And poor Mr. Domsky has to answer questions for me every agenda. So thank you for being a good sport about it.
My pleasure.
And I did just want to make a couple comments about this item. So thank you, Governor, for giving me a moment. And thank you as well, Governor, and to MDOT for your commitment to better manage our congested corridors and to really secure all the federal funds that we can to make sure that we can build out a road system and a transit system that works for the people of Maryland. This contract, to be clear, comes on the heels of MDOT's application for more than $2 billion in funds from the Biden-Harris administration. And so I'm certainly in full support of going after federal funds like the Multimodal Project Discretionary Grant and a public funding model. While this is just the first phase of the restart of the American Legion Bridge work, I do also continue to have concerns about the efficacy of highway expansion as a means to alleviate traffic. Its effect of bringing more cars to the road, resulting in more greenhouse gas emissions, and most relevant to my office and this board, any potential future reliance on a transportation P3. I'm so glad and I knew this would happen, but it's always great to see it and when it does, that the governor is really committed, truly committed to making multimodal transportation options central to this project and not just peripheral. And that includes bus rapid transit, transit-oriented development, and more. But of course, there's a lot of questions about this plan. And I think there are people watching who also will have questions about what's coming forward. And the point of this contract today is to do work and to engage and to have time to also engage in public engagement and talk to the stakeholders about what's going on. And in my conversation with Secretary Wittefeld, also strongly believe that as this project moves forward on the American Legion Bridge, they won't leave 270 behind, right? That is such an essential corridor connecting Marylanders to Marylanders. And there's been so much important work being done along that, but there's just so much to do. And so And I will say, when I'm speaking to Montgomery County business owners and leaders, often they bring up 270 first because their employees live further and further north and cannot get to work in a timely way. And while this work is important, we've seen Virginia acknowledge that roads alone don't solve congestion problems. The previous Virginia administration wisely invested in CSX track and right away to add transit on VRE, a $3.7 billion investment. And I think that really underscores, and I brought this up with Secretary Wiedefeld, our need to look at the 270 corridor as well. So just, you know, this is the beginning, not the end. And I'm really excited to work with this administration, with the MDOT secretary, with the governor, with the treasurer, in playing a role in this project's success and making sure that we're connecting Marylanders around the state. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for not just comments, but also for your leadership and partnership, Madam Comptroller.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Donsky? Good. Okay. Thank you so much. May I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you. And we'll conclude bringing Secretary Chaudhry back on up for the DGS agenda. Secretary, good morning. Good to see you again.
Morning, sir. Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, for the record, I am Atif Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 42 items on our agenda. Our agenda features over $5 million in capital grants and loans. I just want to highlight just a couple of them. I want to highlight item 7CGL, which provides $500,000 to Southwest Partnership in Baltimore City to support the Resurrect the Rec campaign to renovate the vacant Poppleton Recreation Center so that it can be reopened as a fully operational recreation center for the adjacent communities. I also want to highlight item 9CGL, which provides $250,000 for site improvements for the Wellspring Life Farm in Baltimore County. Wellspring provides equine and canine therapy to active duty military, veterans, first responders, and teens for PTSD, stress, and other needs to help them develop goal setting and problem solving strategies. And finally, I wanted to highlight item 15CGL, which provides through the Department of Health, a $1.1 million grant to Turk House for the acquisition of a 44,000 square foot warehouse to provide integrated substance use and behavioral health services in East Baltimore. Our agenda also includes three new contract awards and one contract modification to MBE Prime subcontractors, MBE Prime contractors totaling over $7.3 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. Are there any questions or discussion around the DGS agenda?
I just make comments on things. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. It's not, I know you are the controlling agency, so you're up there, but I don't have any questions for you. but thank you. I have just a couple comments on item 25. SMOD. And I do want to thank Secretary McElwain, along with the MTA Administrator of NYSER for and her team for meeting with me to thoroughly explain the contract modification and the new regulations. The current contract, which has been in place since 2008, is incredibly outdated in its structure. It's well exceeded the original contract terms and the budget. It's a bad deal for the state right now. And so the contract modification is not an issue for me, and I will be voting for this. But as a delegate, I voted against the underlying regulation when it was presented to the AELR committee, and I continue to believe that the regulation is wrong because of its negative impact on state revenues and overburdening of lower-income Marylanders. So I understand that the state wants to proceed with the changes since newer vehicles are not our biggest air quality concern, and we're well overdue for a new VEEP testing contract. But I just can't overlook the inequity and the impact. Under this regulation, drivers of older vehicles, those who often cannot afford new cars, will be bearing the brunt of funding our state's successful Clean Air Act program. And as the average cost of new vehicles continues to climb, that gap is only going to widen. And this change, of course, will result in less funding for the Transportation Trust Fund. We just passed an item that is a lot of money from the Transportation Trust Fund. And of course, the Maryland General Assembly and the governor and our leadership have recently convened a commission to determine how best to fund the TTF over the long term. Because we've all seen the flashing yellow lights regarding that. Even last week, MDOT released their CTP, and they noted that it's not balanced in out years. And the commission 2 weeks ago noted that it's really time to stop the bleeding from the Transportation Trust Fund. And unfortunately, this regulation doesn't do that. due to its impact on revenues. In other states where this extension of time for a fuel emission test was created, they enacted such a change in a revenue neutral way. And so I would just encourage Administrator Neiser and her team to examine these options and consider updates to the regulation. Creating long-term economic stability for the Transportation Trust Fund is a truly urgent matter. And although, of course, I'm not on, my office is not on the commission, we will always be happy to help in any way possible to identify additional sources and options. So I am voting for this, but just wanted to make some comments because I've been working on this since I was on AELR. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you. I'm going to take a slightly different approach to this on this particular point. And this is nothing in relation to what the comptroller was saying, but more so what I've been reading and the calls and letters that I've been getting. It's unfortunate that I think it's been made to be a wealth versus poor kind of argument. I don't believe it's anything like that. See, the impression that I'm getting, and I would ask the secretary to correct me if my interpretation is wrong, but it sounds like only if you owe a, if you own a Corvette, a Tesla, or Mercedes, you're getting this benefit. But see, we have, first of all, poor people don't own cars. Let's just be honest. Now, low income and working class people do, but poor people don't. And if you think differently, I'm happy to take you places in my old district on a Friday or Saturday night and prove it to you. So we'll start there. But see, low income and working class people own cars too. Maybe it isn't a Tesla. It might be a Ford Focus. But see, they would get that same benefit as well. Maybe it's not a Corvette, but it's a Kia. They would get that same benefit as well. Now, I also don't know how the program works. Let's say it says the first 6 years of a new car. What happens if someone buys it and maybe, you know, they sell it or whatever, and someone goes to buy what's now a used car, but they buy it in 3 years. Do they still get that? Do they still get that benefit for the next 3 years until it reaches that six-year threshold? Is that?
No, they're actually required to be tested. So good morning, Christy Neiser. I'm the MBA administrator. Great to see each of you. So you are exactly right that electric vehicles are not subject to the vehicle emissions program for obvious reasons. And we want to increase the number of electric vehicles. We have many goals in that regard. But in terms of the actual implementation of this, it will require the six model years and older to be tested. But if a vehicle is sold, that vehicle will be required to get into our testing fleet. So that vehicle will be captured. We did do an environmental justice analysis because we care about the same issues that the comptroller mentioned. And we want to make sure we're not doing anything with the program that would be unfair or unjust. And so our analysis showed that really there wasn't a difference in the three-year testing pool between race and gender and income as far as we could extrapolate from census data.
Let me jump back in for a second because I don't want this to get lost. What is the, I guess, the failure rate for those cars 6 years and under? Or in other words, I think what I was reading that they were passing at like a 99% rate.
Is that accurate? That's accurate.
So look, if this is just about revenues and money, then there's another component that we need to take into consideration. That's people's time. If you know they're going to pass it anyway, but to make them be, see, not everybody is, you know, has the ability to just take off from work and go, you know, to an emission statement without it being, you know, some cost. But we know that that car is going to pass. So if it's just about money, they're paying it anyway. Stick it on the registration renewal and say this is whatever and go with that. But don't make them waste their time. Go through that charade and get, you know, stick the thing in and go, you pass. When you know it's going to happen anyway. So that's the other component. It ain't just the money. It's people's time. And we don't need to just waste their time for this. But I just wanted to point that out, you know, that part. This whole rich versus poor, we don't need to do that. And I hope people can make better arguments on that, you know, because I've been hearing that, reading that in the paper. And then the letters I was getting to my argument, and you know, to my office. And like I said, there are a lot of inexpensive cars. And I don't care if you're low income or whatever. At some point, your car is going to break down and you are going to have to get a new car. if you want to continue to drive, they do not last forever. Well, at least mine does. They do not last forever. And then you will receive that benefit as well of being able to go 6 years, and it's one less trip or something that you have to do for no reason. So that's, so again, nothing's, this was not in direct contradiction to what the comptroller said, but more about what I've read in the paper and other publications and the letters that have come to my office. They tried, you know, it tried to paint a very different picture. And as I saw this, I see this as, you know, a benefit that we can give back to our constituents that is one less, you know, burden, if you will, the unnecessary burden. You know, clean air is not a burden, but when they're not doing anything, when it becomes less about that and more about something else, then they deserve that break. So that's why I'm comfortable supporting this.
Yeah. And I would just, I mean, I agree, Mr. Treasurer. I agree with what you're saying. We don't, you know, it's been very clear. Other states have demonstrated that we don't need these new vehicles to come in. It's just nice to see some other states have done this in a revenue neutral way. So we're not creating the burden, but we're also not losing the money. So yeah,
I think
well said.
I'm sorry. I think to both of your point, that is exactly what the Transportation Revenue and Funding Commission is going to look at. And this fee is part of that larger conversation. And we are committed, and the secretary is committed to figuring out how it fits into that larger puzzle. So I think we can balance both moving forward as we look at the revenue.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Are there other items for discussion for the DGS agenda? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. You looked at me so through.
Really excited.
He's very excited to second it. So thank you very much. Thanks for seconding. Thank you. And that includes that concludes today's meeting for the Board of Public Works. Next one will be on September 20th. Thank you so much, everybody. We are officially adjourned. Thank you.